Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Whenever you hear this OAR song, means we're about to go to New York City. Big City Nate, our friend Bars Stool Nate.
He's not in Vegas anymore?
I don't know. Where are you?
I love Big City Nate. Let's keep that nickname.
Okay. Are you still in Vegas? If you're still in Vegas, we can give you that name. If you're not, you're Little City Nate.
No, I'm in New York City, the biggest and most important city in the world.
You were in Vegas. Did you win?
Vegas went terribly. It went as bad as possible. So I'm back in New York City now.
So when you have a bad run like that, because don't you sell off portions of your potential winnings?
Yeah.
Does it get harder to sell it off for the next leg here?
No. So tournament poker is very frustrating, where the best players in the world cash in about 15% of all the tournaments they play. So that means in 85% of things you play, you're not making any money. So as a tournament player myself, I only played 4 tournaments when I was out there, and I went 0-4. So you can't really judge based on such a small sample size. However, it's very frustrating when you are a passionate poker player like me, but you only get to play 5 to 6 tournaments every year. So I can never really get any sort of sample size. So this trip just, it went bad. I didn't cash anything. I came home with my pockets empty, just back to the New York City grind.
Ain't it better to be a good poker instead of just a passionate poker player?
I would love to be better, B. Mitch. I would love to be, but I chose the New York City blogging life instead.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here, joining us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Nate at Barstool Nate. Read his work for Barstool, dude. It's obviously a dead time for sports, but.
Yeah.
It's also, there's kind of a lot going on down here right now. Let's start with the Nats. They had that god-awful losing streak, but now they've won 2 of the last 4. They look good last night. And perhaps more important than how this season goes, if they go 70 and 92, whatever it is, James Wood is really emerging as that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we got you. You just keep saying,
My phone's acting up. I have a new one. I just need to get it activated. But, yeah, we talked about it, I think, last week or the week before, where the Nationals have traded themselves into this amazing core by trading Soto to the Padres and got back just, 5 bona fide studs. And now it's just up to the front office to decide what in the hell they're going to do, because they've just been in ownership limbo for, it feels like, the last 10 years now. It's just every year. Are they being sold? Are they not? The money isn't being spent like we know it should be. And I think Nats fans are worried about just blowing this core, where if the ownership's not going to spend money to solidify the bullpen and the starting rotation, you just have these guys who are, James Wood is 22 years old. He is an all-star. He should get MVP votes. And management doesn't look like they can spend a dime to help this team. That stinks. We truly need to not waste this what we got back for Soto. That sort of trade with all these guys panning out. Mackenzie Gore, he's going to get Cy Young votes probably. You can't waste this. So I think the biggest issue in DC sports right now is, who owns the Washington Nationals, and what are they going to do about having, I don't want to say lucked into a generational young core, but, making the best trade in baseball history, making the most lopsided trade in baseball history, take advantage of that.
I don't think we need to get too freaked out about losing these guys because they're all under team control for such a long run. That, like, yes, you don't want to waste it, but at the same time, I don't think the Nats get sold. There are major, big issues going on in baseball, both about a potential lockout and television rights with MLB trying to bring everything together. So I think, like, unfortunately, an actual sale of the Nats is probably at earliest, I don't know, I guess, you know, February, March of 26. Mm-hmm. But for me, man, with Wood especially, but Gore too, and we'll see who else, you know, emerges to be a true star.
Dylan Cruz is still going to be great.
I just want to enjoy the James Wood thing and not have the discussion about losing.
Let me ask anybody this question because I heard somebody talk about this. The record that was for the longest for losing was what, 13 or 12 games? 12 games.
The all-time record.
And then they
got to 11.
They got to 11. Was anybody mad? Because there were some people that was wishing that they broke the record because they felt things would happen if that happened. Any one of y'all felt that way?
Mad they didn't get to 12 or 13, so they'd have to fire Navy?
They had to make stuff happen.
No, I mean, once you lose 9 in a row, 10 in a row, 11 in a row, what's one more game in a row?
Well, when you got a record, you break a record like that, that's when things go way south.
If Davey survived throwing the entire team under the bus while losing back-to-back series to the Marlins and the Rockies, I think he's pretty safe. I don't know what else. You know, it went, what, 2 in a row to the Rangers, then swept by the Mets, swept by the Marlins, swept by the Rockies at home. So, I think Davey is rather safe.
They broke it. I think there was a lot of lingering anger, but the way they broke the streak with James Wood hitting the walk-off home run really made it a lot better. I think that kind of changed it, and just how good Wood's been. You want him in the home run derby, Nate Dogg?
I think James Wood should be everywhere. He should be home run derby. He should be all-star game. He should be on the cover of video games. Right. He's really – I like when they put graphics up on the screen when they compare him to Soto and Harper because he's really already at 22 just like they are. But he's just so exciting. I mean, ginormous. He's bigger than Gronk. He's like 6'7", 250 pounds. And he just does everything right every single night. You know, it just – there's another 450-foot home run. James Wood should be in front of everybody's eyeballs as often as possible. He's so electric, and he hits the ball a mile. It's very Aaron Judge-esque.
You're not lying about that one. I'm talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Let's switch it, dude, to the Wiz. The NBA draft is this week. There is growing speculation that Ace Bailey will be the pick for the Wizards. Yeah. I mean, there was a time where people were like, Ace Bailey might be able to push Cooper Flagg for the number one pick. Mm. I think Dylan Harper was objectively better this past year at Rutgers. And then there's kind of this weirdness of how Ace Bailey is handling the pre-draft circuit. He's not going on visits.
Yeah.
But he's also... the NBA drafts for potential unlike any other league, and that dude has a ton of potential. Where do you land? Who do you want the Wiz to get?
Yeah, the Ace Bailey situation is very strange. As you said, there were people wondering if he could push Cooper Flagg. I mean, he was never going to, but hey, the discussion was had. He's 18, he's 6'10", and he's being super weird in his whole pre-draft process. He wouldn't even go visit the 76ers, who, you know, when healthy, can win the East. But, you know, they have the fourth pick because they were so unhealthy and Embiid can't stay on the floor. Ace Bailey seems, as the rumors go, to want to play in Washington, which when you hear that, your jaw kind of drops because when was the last time you heard someone say, please don't take me, I want to go to number 6 to Washington? If that is true, if that rumor is true, I mean – come on down, man. I'll build your house in wherever you want it. Great Falls is lovely. So if Ace Bailey wants to be in Washington, we already know we have this extremely young, talented core. If he's the centerpiece of it all, I would love it. I mean, none of us know, especially with NBA draft, how guys at 18 who went to Rutgers can make the jump immediately. Maybe he'll be elite immediately in NBA. Maybe he'll need a lot of time to develop and he'll have to put in the work. I don't know. What I do know is if a guy is thought to go number one or number two overall, and he wants to go number six to the Wizards, that's my guy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, I say this, man. The team, the group that put together the team that just won the NBA championship, put a lot of those guys on that team, is sitting here now. So if he wants to come here and they got some young guys already, you got to look at the possibilities. We're not saying it's going to happen, but, hell, they just put one together there.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma City built the team the correct way. Mm-hmm. They have 1,000 more draft picks in the next 5, 6, 7 years. I think they are a model franchise how to build a team, and I think the Wizards, you know, for as bad as they've been, they're doing things correctly. I feel confident saying the Wizards are doing things correctly. I think all three of us want the Wizards to be good so badly because the NBA is so exciting and there's so much good talent in the NBA, and we just haven't really had a good Wiz team in, I mean, what? 10 years, I guess. So yeah, hopefully, whoever we get at six, Ace Bailey or otherwise, is that dude.
Yeah, I like Con Knipple, but I actually think he's going to be gone, dude. Bailey is a super intriguing prospect, and I guess they just want to get as many super intriguing prospects on the roster as they can, and see what happens. What did you think of the NBA Finals overall?
I thought it was a very good playoff. I mean, going to game 7 in the finals with the Pacers being Pacers were what, the biggest underdogs to enter an NBA finals. Oklahoma City had, you know, the basically record setting regular season, kind of breezed through the playoffs. And then the Pacers just gave them headache after headache. It very anticlimactic, unfortunate ending to it, obviously, with the injury to Halliburton. Just sucks to watch that happen after he came out just shooting the lights out. But overall, I mean, you can't hate on OKC. They built this team. They made the correct trades. They got a couple superstars. And people are saying they could be a dynasty with just how young and good they play. They play great defense. They score. And they just won their first title. So I didn't hate the finals. I think you're insane if you hated the finals because of the ending. It was just in another simulation, I would like to see game 7 with a healthy Halliburton, because I think Indiana, you know, they had they played amazing. Like, they played awesome. It was so fun to watch them.
How they won.
You know, it just sucks that they put up
Viewing numbers in that final game.
Yeah,
so everybody
for
talk
game
about,
7.
Everybody talk about having two small market teams. They put some numbers up. So
the NBA is awesome.
See what happens,
like,
when you have competition, when you really play hard?
Right.
People want to watch it.
Yeah.
It does. I said this yesterday, and I don't mean this like overly negative, but this does seem like the most – I don't feel like I'm going to remember – the stuff I'll remember from this playoffs in 5 years, the biggest thing I think will be the Halliburton shot at the Garden that ended up only tying it and not breaking it when he hit the Knicks fans with the Reggie Miller choke. Like, I think this is a very forgettable finals. There's not like I remember Joker. I remember Giannis, the LeBron block, like over the years. Like, I just don't know that there's a moment in this one, this finals I'm going to remember.
The first game of this finals was
when Indy stole it,
when it came back.
Yeah,
because then after that, you had a game. Yeah, one game that was won by 7, one was won by 9. The rest of them were double digit wins on either side.
And even when Indy won game 6, I very much felt like, all right, well, the Thunder are just going to win game 7.
Game 7.
And the injury kind of taints it. But
I mean, they can taint all. I think even if he played, they were going to win it.
I do too.
I'm saying.
I do too. Nate, I got a text last night from my sister-in-law at like 10 o'clock. hey, I'm freaked out about Terry. I just Googled it, and it said New England might trade for him. I said, where are you finding this? It wasn't a reputable source.
No.
When do you allow yourself to get
your
concerned?
Your sister-in-law is at 10 o'clock at night Googling to find out what's happening with Terry?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, she's a real football fan.
She's a football fan.
Damn.
yeah.
Shout out to Caitlin.
Kate, what's up? Go to sleep. Damn, rest. What the hell?
Anybody that's asked me, I said if we get past July 15th, you can start to have a modicum of stress about this. Just because then you get to training camp, and then it kind of changes the vibe. I still think this gets done. I don't think people need to be too concerned. Where are you?
Hasn't changed. I would prefer him to be signed. I would prefer him to have an extension. I would prefer him to play in D.C. for his entire career. Do I get worried that he's not signed currently? A little bit. I think I've said on this show more times than anything that I trust Adam Peters in the front office, like with everything, whatever decision they make, whatever they do, I'm fully behind 100%. I don't think they can do any wrong. So I say that by saying maybe there's a reason Terry hasn't put pen to paper yet, but everything might be fine. The other side, the devil on your shoulder goes, maybe there's a reason that he hasn't signed. And maybe that reason is, you know, they're not giving him the deal that he wants. And maybe there is some conflict between his agent and the front office. And maybe they really, truly aren't aligned on an extension. We don't know which one it is. We don't know if things are fine and it just takes time and he'll, you know, be in camp July 15th, or if there really is strife. That's what worries me, is we don't know. And the longer it goes, the more it seems like they're not on the same page. That's all conjecture, though, because honestly, like, it could be either. I do worry that they're not on the same page, though. Yes.
I don't. But I think that's fair. That's why I say July 15th. So that's 7-8 days before veterans report to camp. Like, that's when you kind of get to crunch time then. I don't think we're at crunch time yet.
Now, the tricky part will be, guys, is let's say it is the devil on the shoulder and they're not aligned on the money and the years or anything. We have to continue to trust Adam Peters, though, because, like, he hasn't shown that he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, like, we have to trust him in the front office, and we can't go back to the Dan Snyder stuff where, oh, ownership should step in and make this happen. We can't think that way. So let's say worst case scenario is he does not sign an extension. It's going to be tough as fans to be like, oh no, like, is this the first misstep by this new regime? I don't know. I just want to trust that everything will work out the way it should work out. I hope we don't get there. But at the end of the day, I do trust this new management that they've put in to make the best decision possible for this team.
I'm with you on that, Nate.
I think that's the right place to land. I also think trusting the front office will land with a McLaurin 3-year extension. So,
and if it doesn't, what do we do?
There's nothing you can do. Just watch the team and cheer.
All
you
yeah.
I mean, Debo. It's like we ask those questions. What do we do? We can't do a damn thing. All we can do is watch the games.
Yeah, but I'm bracing myself for a crash landing. That's the thing. I don't prepare.
I don't think you should be bracing yourself for a crash landing right now. I
hope not.
Practice your poker. You're going back to Vegas soon.
Yeah, I am.
He'll be right back.
I'm going to England and then flying direct from London to Vegas.
What's going on in England?
I'm going to the Oasis concert, their first show back in Cardiff, Wales.
That'll be
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so their first show in 15 years, I will be at.
That's dope. Enjoy that. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right. Love you guys.
All right, man.
It's our friend Barstool Nate. When we come back, John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter, the John Keim Report, will join the program.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.